Viva Cristo Rey. Long live Christ the King. Viva Cristo Rey was the battle cry of the Cristeros in their struggle against the socialist, anti-Catholic Mexican government in the 1920s. The persecution that the church suffered at that time was worse than anything she'd seen since the days of Queen Elizabeth in England in the 16th century. Viva Cristo Rey were also the final words of Blessed Miguel Pro, who was a Jesuit priest executed, martyred really, by the Mexican government during the Cristero struggle. He'd been sentenced to death based on false, trumped-up charges that he tried to assassinate the former president of Mexico. And as he stood before the firing squad, Father Pro stretched out his arms in cruciform position with a rosary in one hand and a crucifix in the other, and he called out, "Viva Cristo Rey!" And then they shot him. Who is this king for whom Father Pro died? And over what kind of kingdom does he reign? Our readings today on the solemnity of Christ the King give us some clues. Our first reading gives us a clue as to the nature of Christ's kingdom. What kind of kingdom is it? In our first reading, the tribes of Israel come to David and they say, "Here we are, your bone and your flesh." That's very similar to when Adam pronounced Eve, "bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh." And that's no accident, because this was ancient covenantal language. With Adam and Eve, the covenant was one of marriage. And here, the tribes of Israel are entering into a covenant with David. And in our reading where it says they made an agreement with David before the Lord, a better translation would be they entered into a covenant with David before the Lord. Sounds kind of like a marriage, doesn't it? Well, in light of that, and also in light of the example that we have from Adam and Eve, it's not much of a stretch to say that David's kingdom had a nuptial aspect to it, with Israel as the bride and David is the bridegroom. Why is this important? It's important because David's kingdom was a type, a foreshadowing of the New Testament kingdom of Christ. And the apostles and the early Christians understood this. In Acts chapter 15, at the Council of Jerusalem in AD 49, James stands up and cites a prophecy by the prophet Joel and applies it to the church. He says, "After this, I," meaning God, "will return and I will rebuild the dwelling of David, which has fallen." James and the other apostles saw the church as a rebuilding of David's kingdom, ruled over by Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of David. And as David's kingdom is a covenantal kingdom with a nuptial aspect to it, so it is with Christ's kingdom. In the Gospels, Jesus frequently refers to himself as the bridegroom. And the book of Revelation says clearly that the church is his bride. St. Paul says the same thing. And during the Last Supper, when Christ holds up the cup of his blood, he refers to it as the blood of the new covenant. So Christ's kingdom is a covenantal kingdom, a kingdom with a nuptial aspect to it. That means that we are not mere subjects. Christ is a bridegroom, and we, the church, are his bride. And he also gives us another clue as to the nature of his kingdom, where he says elsewhere, "Whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be your slave, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve." So Christ's kingdom is a kingdom of service. Our second reading gives us insight into the extent of Christ's kingdom, as if we didn't already know from the title of the solemnity we celebrate today. St. Paul tells us that Christ is the firstborn of all creation. In him were created all things in heaven and on earth, the visible and the invisible, All things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. So Christ's kingdom is a cosmic one. It's a universal one. He was present at the beginning of creation. In philosophical terms, he's its principle, its origin. So put simply, Christ is king over all creation. So we have the nature of Christ's kingdom and the extent of Christ's kingdom. In our gospel reading today, with Christ hanging on the cross, being reviled by the Jewish leaders and by the Roman soldiers, shows us something about an important aspect of Christ's kingdom. So, Christ is king. Where's his throne? It's on the cross. Christ's kingdom is exhibited for us. It's demonstrated for us. It's manifested for us in his suffering and dying on the cross for us, for our redemption, for the forgiveness of our sins, and for our ultimate eternal salvation. And so, as it is with Christ, so it is with his kingdom. St. Paul tells us in his letter to the Romans, he says, we're heirs of Christ and his kingdom, provided we suffer with him in order that we might be glorified with him. Jesus himself tells us to take up our crosses and follow after him. Suffering is a mission for the faithful in the kingdom as a means of conforming ourselves to Christ and his kingdom. So this gospel reading today serves as a reminder that even though Christ's kingdom is about redemption, forgiveness of sins, and salvation, it's also true that his kingship and his kingdom are perpetually persecuted and suffering. Jesus says, if they persecuted me, they'll persecute you. Now, perhaps not everywhere at all times, but suffering and persecution are ever present in his kingdom. Take the Cristeros as an example, or take a look at what's going on as another example in Nigeria today, where Christians are being killed in the hundreds. Now, we don't all have to suffer to that degree and to that extent, but we do all have to suffer in smaller ways every day. And one of those smaller ways in which we suffer all the time is when we have to give up something that we'd rather keep for ourselves, especially when it comes to money. And in that vein, and you knew this was coming, Father Donahue would like each of us to consider, all parishioners, to consider their levels of giving that they provide in the Sunday offerings, and to prayerfully consider whether it would be possible to increase that level of giving by $5 a week. The parish finance letter, or copies of it, are in the vestibule. Please take a look at it if you haven't already. And if you do take a look at it, you'll see that the parish's expenses are considerable, while at the same time, the Sunday offering has shrunk. And so here's where I do my Vito Corleone imitation. If you don't give a little more, an unlucky accident might befall you. Or Father Donahue, he might have to make you an offer you can't refuse. Kidding aside, $5 a week isn't much. It's less than the cost of a grande coffee at Starbucks. I know we'd rather keep that $5 for ourselves than to spend it on something that we really want to spend it on. We all would. But giving it up, sacrificing it for the sake of the parish, this small suffering undertaken voluntarily, well, those are the kinds of sufferings that we can expect in Christ's kingdom. Remember what St. Paul said. We have to suffer with him in order that we might be glorified with him. And I'd ask you to consider one of my favorite passages in all the books of the New Testament, where St. Paul says, "I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, for in them I complete what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church." That's Colossians chapter 1, verse 24. Now, what could possibly be lacking in the afflictions of Christ? Our participation in them, in the great and small trials that we suffer in this life. Ultimately, we all have to choose whether we're going to live our lives as we, in our fallen condition, would like to live them, or will we surrender them to Christ, our servant king, in a covenantal, nuptial kingdom, whose jurisdiction extends to all creation, and who suffered and died for us, for our redemption, the forgiveness of sins, and for our eternal salvation. And while it's true that Christ's kingdom extends to all creation, as Father mentioned at the beginning of Mass, where he really wants to reign, where he truly wants to reign, is in our hearts as Lord of our lives. Will we let him do it? Will we choose to live our lives as he would like us to live them, not out of a sense of obligation, but out of charity, a love for him and for each other? We have Father Pro's answer to that question. Viva Cristo Rey.